He never left home. I kind of think they feel the same way about us. And I was talking to Brother Terry. I said, I wish we could feel the same way about you, but look where you live. It's not that we don't feel that way, because when the Edmonton folk are here, we're still home. And I know when they're here, they're still home. So we're home-loving folk, which means we're like Abraham. You know, Abraham was given a little piece of land, and Stephen said God wouldn't even let the fella have where he put his foot, and everybody was fooled because Paul came along and gave the answer. Abraham didn't even want it because he was looking for a city. And you know, city's chummy. Not very nice today with all the thugs and mugs and all the junk going on, but just imagine if you could live in a city with people serving you. Oh, brother. Terry told us a little bit about it. He told us a lot about it on Friday night. It's great. We don't even recognize we're being served by God tonight, but we are today. Imagine 144,000 taking care of the bride in that lovely city, the Lamb on the throne, God's veil and the pillar of fire above the throne. You wouldn't be suburbanites. Phooey, you'd be urbanites. I never could figure why it was that I always kind of thought I was a little bit like Lot. I want to be near a city. I don't want to be too far out. And I get thinking the more that really I am an urbanite. Farming is great if you want to get your hands dirty. I'd sooner have somebody else get their hands dirty. I kept mine clean. You can see what kind of a guy I am. But the thing is this, I'm a little more scriptural than perhaps some are. Now, I was just thinking of Sister Goodman. She came all the way because she wasn't afraid of dying. You're going to die anyway sometimes. What's the difference? But back in 1957, when Brother Branham came to Lima High, just before he came, Sister Yarber phoned me. I think I've told you this. From Bellingham, Washington, and she said, Lee, would you pray for Clarence because he's dying of cancer? I said, hey, no, I won't pray for him. Brother Branham is coming to Lima, Ohio, and you can come here and Clarence can be prayed for. She said, but Lee, he is dying. I said, that's all the more reason he's going to die anyway. Why doesn't he come here? He can die here. Like the lepers, you know, outside the gates of Samaria. He can come here, he could be healed. She said, you're right. She put a mattress in the station wagon, threw the old boy, or he walked inside, or whatever it was. And he had faith to come for another reason. His little boy, 7 years old or so, was dying of cancer, completely emaciated and lost. And Brother Branham prayed for that boy in Bellingham, Washington, and he was healed that night. And Brother Branham said, take him out and feed him, and he ate greasy hamburgers. On a cancer goes full of stomach. Yes, ooh, I can't even stand the stuff. With a good stomach, and I can eat snaps and snails and puppy dog tails, and nothing bothers me, honey. Greasy hamburgers. Kicked out like a minion. So Brother Yarber came, and he was the first one in the first line the first time. And Brother Branham, he just froze. He drew back, face black like a shadow. And he said, shattered with death. Cancer. You'll die unless God does something for you. I said, hey, boy, that's some kind of a greeting. I know that's not Pearly City greeting, but it's the kind of greeting the man needed. He just stumbled forward, took him by the hands, and prayed a little prayer. That night he passed chunks of liver-like substance. The next morning his face was pink. He was perfectly healed. Right? Where's Lois Wingate? Lois sent me, now this is going to tell on my wife, and it's really stinky, but I'm a stinker. Lois sent me the loveliest birthday card this year of anybody. Honey, I thank you. I know it's a bit flattery, but kid, I love it. Keep flattering. She's my twin sister. I'm a few years older, but that's the truth. Now I want to talk to you of something that you've never heard before. And it may be a little surprising. You well know that I wrote the church age for Brother Branham because having read the script, having heard the seals, I knew it would be less than compatible with an exposition that he actually gave us, which was so marvelous. To simply take a word-by-word treatise from the ages when he had added so much in the field, which later turned out to be a blessing because unfortunately Brother Branham died before I could rewrite the seals for him, and I didn't know why he was so terribly, terribly urgent. He knew he was going, but I didn't. Anyway, he wrote the Church Ages in order to present to the people as much as we could the reality of the ministry and the doctrine. Now, Brother Branham purportedly, I do not know, told Sidney Jackson in South Africa the book was Thus Saith the Lord. I have no reason to believe one way or the other. I do know that when Brother Collins was agitated because he didn't have a clue, as far as I know, as to the white throne and the second resurrection, the foolish virgin and the whole thing, that he was worried because he was sure that Lee Dale took advantage of Reverend William Branham, prophet of God, and wrote what he wanted, and Brother Branham, being stuck in a gentleman, would not refute it. I know that Becky went to him and said, Daddy, can you go to heaven without being born again? He said, why, no, daughter. She said, well, Lee Dale said that in the book. Now, you know how much Becky knew what was in that book. I'm not slamming anybody. Listen, kid, you're dealing with old Lee Dale up here. I don't take any guff. The book was written according to what Brother Branham said. And if you'd like to have the churning in my stomach, the headaches I had, where I would lie on a bench, having started the book, then lie on a hard bench and roll in agony and in terror, that's how that book was written. Now, that book does not contain any mistakes on the grounds of which I'm now going to divert for 1 second so you get the picture. When I wrote 20th Century Prophet, Brother Branham and I sat together. The witness that was there is now not living. As I read to Brother Branham, and he read beside me the script, he said, put a little point there, Lee. He said, that's not quite right. We'll come back. We went through the book, and he said, another point, he said, that's good. He said, this could help here. When I read the book to him in its entirety, I said, Brother Branham, what about that little thing back here you said to correct? He said, forget it, it's corrected down here. You hear what I said? You hear what I said? Okay, listen to me. In the Church Age book you will find, and we're going to deal with this number one, that in there I took from the passage of Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, and grace means a free gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. The scholars admit that that which is a gift of God is grace. They make the author of the book redundant. And I am a stickler. I do not believe in redundancy. I have been taught that you never use the same word twice in a sentence or in a paragraph or in a page. That is why my vocabulary is so extensive, and I watch myself. I try not even leave the participles dangling or the prepositions out of place. I could not truly accept what they said, though Brother Branham, later on I found, after having read the passage where I attributed the saving grace of God to a faith that was only in the elect, based upon chapter 13 of Acts particularly, where they who were ordained unto eternal life believed, but if you weren't ordained, you could not believe. Therefore, I took in 2 Thessalonians where it says, all men have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're reprobate. I immediately drew my conclusion that before you could be born again, you would have to have a faith dropped in your heart by Almighty God. The book was written when Brother Branham actually said on a tape, there are those who say that you have to have a supernatural faith to be saved. Don't you believe it, because faith is represented by hyssop, and hyssop grows in the cracks and crannies of walls and in any place you may find it. So this would sound like an error. But remember, Brother Branham taught on the stature of a perfect man. And on the stature of a perfect man in 2 Peter, the first chapter, you'll find that the basic grace and virtue is faith. And you cannot have it unless you're baptized with the Holy Ghost because it comes out of it. My doctrine was correct in the book, according to Brother Branham, but a slight misplacing because it was corrected as you go down the line. You see what I mean? There is not a mistake in that book as far as doctrine is concerned. It is right. Believe me, I sat with Brother Branham times myself as much as 4.5 hours in one time, roughly 11 days of all the time I could put in to get glimmerings of what I needed to know. He read the book more than once. There are those who will tell you there's a big mouth living in America, which I have. I'll just forget what I said. Man's liar. He said, Brother Branham did not read the last chapter, so many pages of that church age book. He doesn't know what he's talking about because there's a man named Riley that used to or does lead a Brother Carpenter song service in Mesa, Arizona, who sat in the Ramada Inn with me and Brother Branham as I read the last chapter to bring to his attention what he seemed to be saying to the people was that men like Luther and different ones never had the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And I said, Brother Branham, I want to ask you a question. Were these men devoid of the Holy Ghost, or were they full of the Holy Ghost? Because these men are messengers. Oh, yes, he said, before they had the Holy Ghost, there's no doubt. Remember, he said they had in measure, right? So they had the Holy Ghost for their day. There was no problem there. So I read the book to him, and poor old Brother Riley, he later on apologized. He kept butting in as though he knew something. He knew nothing of what we were talking. But so Brother Branham heard the chapter. This other man knew nothing about it, so therefore he being thought, thinking he was omniscient, which he wasn't quite. Lois, you accept my sarcasm. You understand perfectly what I'm telling you. My twin sister never lets me down. Jack Sweet. That guy was wrong. 100%. Brother Branham not only heard, but he corrected, he read the last chapter and every word in that book. There is one bad, there are a couple typographical errors, and one is because the book was sent to Pentecostal Publishing Press. And Brother Branham said, the prophet in the former reign. Pentecostals know only latter reign. Though I quoted the scripture correctly, the former reign, the man put in latter reign. Now listen to me. When that book came back from the printers in my hand, the final edition, I told my wife, I said, there's a mistake in this book. And I'll take you right to it. I knew the man had put in latter instead of former. Now, we'll go a step further. Let's talk about 1977. 1977 is what Brother Branham said could possibly, by prediction, be the end. In the book it is stressed, I am predicting, I am not prophesying. So therefore, instantly, if you have any intellectual capacity whatsoever, based upon what you know of Brother Branham, what's in the book, you would know that this man was not saying, thus saith the Lord, he was not prophesying. In there you will find the visions were enumerated, 1 through 7. You will also know that 5 of them had come to pass. Based on Brother Branham's calculation, which was his own prediction, by the speed at which 5 had already been processed by God, it would be 1977, possibly. Only by not a pure calculation, but a guesstimation. He was saying it could be. Later on, he corrected himself and said that things would have to be squeezed in pretty mightily to get there. Also, Brother Branham said, you cannot see certain events fulfilled or great things fulfilled until all the events are in. Now, notice the language in that book. In that book, and I cannot quote it exactly right now, but I can quote you the part that I want to quote you. And that is that little phrase after he said, I am not prophesying, I am predicting. And enumerating these things, the little phrase is, by divine revelation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I wrote 20th Century Prophets, there was certain phraseology I did not like. I would go back over and over to change it, and I couldn't do it. In the Church Age book, there were certain passages I wrote I could not allow to be printed. I could not change for some reason why it was said by divine inspiration. And now you sitting here, I won't say too much because I could be insulting you and I don't mean to. But look, if I had already told you, I have seven visions of which five came to pass and two will come to pass, and you knew that every time I said, thus saith the Lord, or prophesied, there never was one iota of failure. Then I write in that book for Brother Branham, or he writes it, putting all these into an equation, and then saying, this is a guesstimation. I'll ask you the question, using the divine revelation that God gave. I'll ask you, what was the divine revelation? Now somebody tell me. Now, I don't want to fake you out now, and I don't want to get you bombed out, but look, kid, this is serious. The divine revelation were the seven visions. He never had more than the divine revelation than that. You follow what I'm saying? This has thrown everybody that needed to be thrown, because they thought it was being said, thus saith the Lord, 1977. It wasn't. You wonder why it's in the book. I'm not God. Understand what I'm saying? There are three types of people that Jesus mentioned: the prophet, the wise man, and the scribe. The prophet is the living word of God made manifest. He cannot be judged because he is God to the people, because God is in him. And he's not, as Terry's former friend from British Columbia said, as God, as God, as God. Is that my sarcasm, Lord? Thank you, dear. I knew you would. Because you got guts. I'm not standing here as Lee Vale. I am Lee Vale. Jesus said, who's seen me has seen the Father. And William Branham said, when you see me, it's just like when they said, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Well, I don't think I can take that. I'm glad. You know why? It reduces the crowd. When I was a kid, and I'm still a kid, my sister used to make the best caramel pie you ever tasted. And I could sit down and I saw that I got what I wanted, because I ate the whole thing before you got there. New Jerusalem, here comes a sheep like a hog. William Branham said what he said, and I believe it. All right. I'm not God. There are three classes of people: the prophet, the scribe, the wise man, and the scribe. The prophet is the infallible word of God. He's the living word of God made manifest. He is God to the people. In him dwells God. You can put whatever measure you want, but Brother Branham had to have the measure for this particular hour, or whatever role God was posing himself in, which was absolutely prophet, which was judge, and so on. What is the wise man? Now I'm going to flatter myself and Brother Valens. Hey, Terry, good to see you. Flatter Terry. Not flattery. And be honest. Because if I'm not honest, I'm a deceiver. And if you believe me, you'll burn, but I'll burn extra because I deceive you. The wise man is a man who can handle the scripture, preferably known as a teacher. The scribe is the man who only writes it down. Therefore, you see, nothing changes. All right. I took what Brother Branham said, as thus saith the Lord, and I wrote it handling it as I was given leeway by God to handle that word. And so therefore in that book you have that picture of where it says by divine revelation, and it has thrown many people a curve, and this is scriptural. I did not do it on purpose. I knew perfectly in my mind what I meant when I wrote it, and so did Brother Branham. And ignorantly, I thought anybody would just pick it up, because it was all there in front of you. Hey, I got 6 apples. I got 6 peaches. I got 6 oranges. I got 6 pears. Makes wonderful marmalade. Try it sometime. Take a cup of each and a cup of sugar to match and boil it. Put it in jars. It's fantastic. But there's something needed. It's all laid out. See? Now, maybe I've got 8 pears, I've got 6 peaches, and I've got this. I'm supposed to eat one of each. Now, if I've only got 6 peaches and 6 pears and 6 apples, I can't have 8 oranges. And I thought it was that simple. The divine revelation was the 7 visions. Now, let me tell you, I have laid open to you, as I've never done in any public office or any public group, what I'm telling you now. To my knowledge, there is absolutely nothing in that book that is in error. Because even the little thing that was in there corrected itself absolutely by the truth that when you are born again, you do have that measure of faith. I misplaced a little bit, but the prophet completely overlooked it on the grounds of how he corrected the 20th century prophet. Just leave it. Don't touch it. It's made manifest down here. So,